of the reasons we pick to go to church. We also will go if there are no strings attached. I want to come through that door on Sunday morning. Don't bother me. I'm going to sit down, and I want to walk out. Don't get me involved in anything. Some of us go because of that. We don't want any strings attached. And if this is our shopping list for a church, you know what we become? We become customers, simply filling our shopping carts full of everything that we want. How many of you have ever gone to the grocery store with a list before? Anybody? Now, how many of you gone to that grocery store with a list and you were hungry? Okay. What do you buy? Do you buy everything you need on the list, or do you buy some things you want, right? Typically, Mary won't send me to the grocery store no more because I always buy what I want and forget everything she needs, you know? So it's one of those things. But we have to remember that church is not a social organization. Pastor Don said that church is actually a spiritual organism. It is a living organism that's filled with a lot of members here. And the church is someplace where you and I can come in and we can meet the needs. We see a need and we what? We meet a need. That's what church is, where everyone is working together. We're not just going off on by ourselves and being in isolation. We work together as a body. And then we have a sense of belonging that's so much bigger than ourselves and our wants. That's what it boils down to when we're here. Paul said that we are the body of what? We are the body of Christ. That's what Paul said. We are family. Anybody know that song? We are family. And in every body, we see three things. And Pastor Don hit on two of those things last week. The first thing he talked about was what? Was anybody here? He wasn't, but we were supposed to be. Last week, he talked about authority. Remember that? He talked about authority, which was positional through appointed leaders. And with that authority comes clear information, comes clear communication for you and I as we maneuver through the church, where we can care for other people, where we can meet the needs of other people. And then he talked about community. Community was experienced as people shared their gifts. We're not supposed to hoard our gifts. We're supposed to what? We're supposed to share them with other people to be able to benefit them. Where we share gifts. Now, in this corporate setting, it's really hard to be able to get to know each other intimately here. That's why we're trying to get you to experience the home group setting. Because in a home group setting, guess what starts to happen? You start doing a little bit more one-on-one together, and the barriers start coming down, and you become what? More transparent. And as you become more transparent, you start sharing your ups and downs with each other. And you will share them with me, I will share them with you. And as we do that, we end up with a deeper fellowship and a much deeper relationship. If you're in a home group, would you agree with that? That's what happens. We become more intimate, we're more like family, so that we can help each other in those areas. Today we're going to look at the third aspect, which is called responsibility. How many of you like to be responsible? I see that hand, George. I was responsible for my sister, I guess, when I was... I've been told this story my whole life. I don't know if it's true or not, because I certainly don't remember it happening. But apparently, when Mom brought my sister Bonnie home from the hospital, I was apparently jealous, because I'm the oldest. So supposedly, one day I had her out in the baby buggy in the yard, and I pushed her in the swamp. Mom looked at me and says, "You were responsible for her." I go, "I know. I'm just getting rid of her. I don't want her around." So it's like, we have to be responsible today, and that's what we're going to look at, is responsibility. First of all, to who? First of all, to God, then to each other, because we're part of the family here. And then when we walk out those doors today, we are responsible for the what? For the world. You realize that? We're responsible to share the good news of Christ to the world out there. And our responsibility is threefold. So in your notes, you got three quick little fill-ins, and then we'll go to our table discussions. But the first responsibility that you and I have is to grow up. You ever been told that before? I'm almost 68 years old, and they're still telling me to grow up. Grow up is what we have to do. Colossians 1:28 says this, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God, perfect in their relationship to Christ. Now, what word in that verse scares you? What? Perfect. What does perfect mean to you and I in America today? That you have to have it all together, right? Well, when Paul uses the word perfect here, he's talking about being mature and complete. Mature and complete, not flawless. Does that make you feel a little bit better? It does to me. That's what we should be striving for each and every day, is to be more mature and more complete today than we were yesterday. That's all it's asking us to do. Paul wanted every believer to be mature spiritually. That's what he wanted for you and I. And to mature spiritually, you and I have to daily grow in our faith. So I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you doing to grow in your faith? What are you doing? Praise the Lord, you're here today. That's a step in growing in your faith. Amen? Being here today. But are you taking a Grace U class? You know, are you doing daily devotions? Are you listening to a worship song and then just pondering maybe a lyric or two in that song during the day and even throughout the week? Those are steps that you and I can take to grow up spiritually. I'm sure everybody has said this. Why is this happening to me? Why? You ever said that before? Do you know why it's happening to us? Because we have to grow up spiritually. That's why it's happening to us. Everything in life is designed to help you and I grow spiritually. You know that, right? That's what it's about. The good, the bad, the ugly, the things we bring on ourselves, the things other people dump on us, is all for our good to help you and I grow spiritually. So instead of asking God, why is this happening to me? Maybe the best thing to ask God, the more mature and complete thing to ask God, is simply this. What do you want me to learn from the situations so that I can grow up more? That's a better thing to ask, for me anyway. Okay, God, this is happening. What can I learn from the situation? Because every situation in life will either make you bitter or it's going to make you better. It's your choice. You and I have a choice on how we're going to respond to the stuff that happens to us on a daily basis. So do you want to be bitter today, or do you want to be better? There is a purpose for problems, yes? They're not fun. I get that. There is a purpose. They're to help us grow spiritually and to become more like who? To more like Jesus. To be more like Jesus. When I look at the life of Christ, I can't help but look at Galatians 5, 22 and 23 that talks about what? The fruit of the Spirit. When I see Christ, that's what I see, is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, I picture this fruit as a citrus fruit with 9 slices. So you've heard people say the fruits of the Spirit. It's really the fruit of the Spirit with 9 sections there. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 say, but the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. How are you doing with the 9 slices of fruit today? How are you doing with that? How does God produce that kind of fruit in our lives? How does He do that? How does He grow our character and help us grow spiritually? Here's what He does. He puts you and I in the exact opposite situation. Amen? Look at the first fruit, love. How does He teach you and I love? By putting us around unloving people. You ever been there before? You're going to learn how to love if you're around unloving people. How does He teach us joy? He teaches us joy right in the middle of grief. And how does He teach us peace? Mary, in the middle of chaos, right where we're at. That's where He teaches us, is peace, when you're right in the middle of chaos. I got good news and bad news for you. The good news is this. You are going to learn all 9 aspects of the fruit of the Spirit. The bad news is it's going to take you the rest of your life. I'm sorry, it's going to take the rest of your life to learn it. So we need to grow up. Those are some of the qualities for us to grow up. Number 2 in your notes is show up. We need to show up. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says this. And there's three words I would have you underline as we get to them, or circle. Let us think of ways to motivate one another. I would underline or circle that word in acts of love and good works. And let us not neglect. If you've never circled that word, circle that word. Let us not neglect the meeting together as some people do, but encourage is the next word I'd have you circle. Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. As I read this, apparently the believers in Hebrews had the exact same problem that you and I have today, 2,000 years later. You know what that problem is? Neglecting to meet together. They had the same issue. But do you and I absolutely realize the privilege that we have when we walk through these doors on a Sunday morning? Do you realize the privilege that we have to be able to motivate each other if you've had a bad week, to be able to encourage each other, to be able to stand here and sing in song as Gary leads in worship and we can feel the Spirit moving? Do you realize the privilege we have to be able to do that? See, our attitude should not be, what can I get when I come to church? It should be, what can I give? Because as you give, guess what's going to happen? God's going to get you some feelings that's going to be great for your walk in faith. So we need to not be here to get. We should be here to give. And I know we're all busy. I'm busy. I didn't want to be here today. Lisa would have killed me if I wouldn't have showed up. I thought about just do an interview on the PD did it. Can I do it? I thought, I don't want to be here. I've been busy all week long. You get what I'm saying? We're all busy. We all have things that crowd stuff out. But here's the thing. We're all going to be busy. We're all going to have difficulties in our lives, but we should absolutely never use those as excuses not to be here on Sunday morning. Never should be used as an excuse. What would have been like if Jesus decided he had a migraine and wasn't going to go to the cross for you? I think I'm not going there for you and I. We have to be here on Sunday morning so that we can worship him. Our life is going to get tougher. Things are going to get tougher as we continue on in this world. And it makes more sense to me for you and I to make a greater effort to faithfully show up here on a Sunday morning and worship together. But before we show up, I would even recommend that you do a couple of things here. There's some important steps before you show up. I think the first thing we need to do is plan to be here. We plan so many things in life, we should plan to be here. Make a plan, because if we don't prioritize worship and belonging together here, I guarantee you something will crowd it out. Something else will crowd it out. So make a plan to be here. Then prepare yourself. We prepare for so many things in life. Why do we not prepare to be here on Sunday morning? And I'm not talking about 5 minutes before you walk out the door today to prepare being here. I'm talking about prepare yourself the night before. What's a great way to prepare yourself the night before? For me, it was just getting a good night's sleep. Get a good night's sleep, and then show up here on time. Boy, am I guilty of that one, not getting here on time. How about you? We need to learn to be on time a little bit more as we prepare. And then last but not least, we need to pray to God that he shows up as we gather together and we see him working in miraculous ways. And then after we show up, it's one simple word, engage. We need to start engaging. I don't want you and I to sleepwalk through our worship time where the worship team's up here and they're trying to lead you and I into a great part of the worship service and we're just standing here and lipping it and maybe on our phones or doing whatever, and it's discouraging to the worship team. But man, I'm telling you, I think it's more discouraging to who? That we're not in here just worshiping him. That was some great worship, that last song we did here, and that's what God wants for you and I as we come in here. We need to engage. How many of us actually come here and expect to hear from God? You don't have to raise your hand. But I thought about that this week thinking, man, I need to expect to hear from him today. Amen? When you walk through the door, we should expect to hear from him today. And I don't want you to run out immediately. So many of us just come in here and bam, we're gone. We got the football game, we got a pot roast, we got whatever we got, right? Take some time and talk with a few people. Learn how to become more of a family. And I guarantee you, you'll be blessed because of it. You will be blessed. I want to come in here on Sunday morning and I want to expect to encounter God. That's what I want to do. I want to encounter Him today when I walk in here. I want to expect God to use me this week. How about you? Do you want Him to use you this week? And I want to ask Him for help. I want to ask Him for help. And I think if we do those things, do you not believe He's going to show up? I think God will show up if we ask Him those things. And then the third thing is simply speak up. That's kind of hard for us to do sometimes, but in your notes, speak up. 1 Peter 3:15 says this, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life, and if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, what's the next word? Always be ready to explain it." Are you always ready to explain when somebody asks you? See, I know a lot of people who take their faith very personally. Do you? It's a personal matter. I don't want to talk about it. It's personal to me. I get that. But when Peter talks to you and I here, that's not what he's telling us to do. Well, I don't want to shove my faith down their throat. I don't want to shove my faith down your throat either. But Peter's not asking us to shove our faith down your throat. He's simply saying to us this, always be what? Ready to give an answer. When someone asks you about your faith, your lifestyle, even your perspective, we just need to be ready to share our story. When people observe your life, when they observe my life, do they see Christ in me? Do they see Christ in you? Are you prepared to tell others about Christ and what He's done for you? Are you ready to share your story, which is an extension of His story? Are we ready to do that? Colossians 4, 5 and 6 says this, "Live wisely among those who are not believers and make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone." Have you ever been to church or listened to a message online or anything and you heard that message and someone come to your mind that needed to hear that? Have you ever had that happen before? And we're really quick to get to that person and say, "Man, I heard this message and you need to hear this," right? Sometimes we're ready to do that. All I would ask you to do is be careful when we approach them that way. Be careful, because you and I can lose our effectiveness if we're not gracious. We need to respect them if we want them to what? We want them to listen to us. We need to be respectful of that. James tells you and I that we should never underestimate the power of speech. Do you remember what he said about the tongue? He said the tongue is a little member of the body, but it can accomplish what? Good and evil things. That's our little tongue. So I would just simply ask us to be careful not to say or do anything that's going to make it difficult to be able to share the gospel with your friends or your relatives or an acquaintance. Are we using the opportunities that God is giving us to witness? Are we walking in wisdom? What do I mean by that? Are we paying our bills on time? Are we keeping our promises? Are we walking the talk? Are we walking the talk? See, it's unfortunate when Christians speak in a rude and harsh manners, especially when an unbeliever is listening. It's not a good thing. Meekness is the opposite of harshness. And as a believer, this is my philosophy. My walk better line up with my talk. That's been my philosophy. Because nothing will silence our lips faster than a careless life. When character, conduct, and conversation are all working together, man, guess what can happen for you and I? We can be powerful witnesses for Christ. Amen? We can be powerful witnesses for Him. So we need to grow up, we need to show up, and we need to speak up, because guess what? It's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. So before we break off into our table discussions, I just want to challenge you today to do something that maybe you haven't done in a long time. I want to challenge you to figure out where you can connect into this family of God. If you're not connected here somewhere, I want you to pray about that. Figure out where you can get connected here and be part of this body. I want you to take some time today and reflect on what you experienced here today. All of us are going to experience different things, different emotions. I want you to take time and reflect on that today. And then, by all means, man, go to the Scriptures and review what we've read together and make sure that, find out if God is asking you to do something with any of those Scripture verses. Because He spoke to me this week on a few areas of my life that I had to deal with. And then I would just pray that you commit to the ministry and pray for this church. We've got a new pastor and his family coming on board coming up in May. We've still got an old pastor that's still on board. They both were going to need your prayers. The leadership team is going to need your prayers. You as a community and a body of Christ also need to pray for each other. Amen? Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity that we can meet here together and that we can talk about you and sing worship songs to you, Lord. Thank you for the opportunity to experience a home group now. And I just pray that you'd bless our conversation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Jeff.